The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Lord Report. I'm your host, John Stapmiller, with you on this Monday. Already the fourth day of February 2019. And down in Florida way, we've got Steve Elkins. Hello, Steve.
Hey, hello, Mr. Stadmiller. How you doing?
Well, I caught something from the Super Bowl yesterday. Mm-hmm. I didn't catch which manufacturer was doing it, but they said all their cars are going to be electric by 2025. That's almost a little over 5 years from now. Now, couple that with GM canceling all kinds of car lines, Ford doing the same. They're going to keep their SUV thing running because that's where they make money. And these smaller cars, they didn't get out the blueprints for the Japanese and how they build them. Remember the Toyota Tercels when they hit this country back in the 70s?
Yeah, I do remember that one.
They sold tons of those things. And they were reliable, cheap little cars to run. We were laughing when Honda introduced its Civic over here. It looked like a bread box with four little wheels on it. And people were laughing at that. Well, they're not laughing anymore. Now they're just going out and buying smart cars, which has got to be the dumbest thing I've ever seen anybody do. I think I would feel safer on a motorcycle with an airbag and a seatbelt. But aside from all that, this is why I think General Motors and Ford is doing this, to try to get a jump on the future markets. And you sent me over an article. I think I'm having it posted by Mikey here. The $70 million investment.
Right.
Yeah, it's already up there. And this doesn't make any sense. Before the program today, I said to you, I'll do 11, 12, 13-hour drives in one stretch. As a matter of fact, going up to Vince's farm. Mm-hmm. That's an 11-hour trip. The way I drive, it could be shorter than that. I'm not going to admit on air to speeding, but 80 is comfortable speed for me. But that's 11 hours. If I had an electric car that I had to stop every couple hundred miles in order to charge the damn thing, how long do you think it would how long do you think it would take me to make that drive?
It would be at least five charges, probably what, 200 miles per charge, I would think. And I don't even know what the charge, how long does a charge take? You talked about a supercharge, but I don't even know what a charge would take on those things. I have no idea.
Well, it's
a long time.
Well, there's fast charging, and then there's slow charging, and then there's no charging in case you run out of electric power before you hit one of the charging stations. Mm-hmm. I wonder what you're going to see people walking down the highway with their disabled cars. A battery? forget the gas can. Mm-hmm. But, this is rather strange. Just about the time that they're making these internal combustion engines fuel efficient, and that's a game that's being played as well. I just recently watched a documentary on Volkswagen and their little cheat devices that they put on their exhaust on their diesel-powered cars. Volkswagen was the biggest diesel car manufacturer and dealer, seller, on the planet. And then somebody discovered, well, wait a minute. These are just static tests. These aren't real world. So somebody in California decided to test their vehicles out in the real world and found out the emissions were 6 to 7 times higher. Now, Volkswagen did a very snaky thing. First, they denied that that was the case and your equipment's faulty and, you know, everything you can throw at them. And then they voluntarily, after enough pressure, gone, oh, okay, well, we see there's, we can technically improve the situation. Nobody panic, nobody worry. So they did this recall. Well, guess what they did? They updated and reinstalled the defeat devices. Now, here's the really funny thing that Volkswagen realized that, well, a lot of these tests, they're static tests. They're put on these little devices that you pull up on, and they're gigantic rollers, and it's a static test. And you start the car up, you strap the non-drive wheels down, and you just perform your test. Well, the sensors in the car were not activated until you turned the wheel. So what it was giving was false readings in these static tests, but in the real world, when you back the car out, you go to turn, that's when the devices would be defeated, and then the really dirty stuff would go into the air. But aside from all that, I can remember on the marketplace in this country back in the, I want to say, 70s to 80s, they imported Honda Civics into this country. They were peppy, little well-made cars, 4 cylinders, but they got 50 miles a gallon plus. There were full-size Jaguar sedans were being made in England that they wouldn't allow to be imported into this country that were getting what? 50 plus miles a gallon. So here we're playing this game that we're looking at the average fuel efficiency over the fleet of whatever manufacturer, 30, 32 miles a gallon. Okay, 30, 32 miles a gallon. Okay, I got that. But now is a big push. What do we still have? What do we still have a lot of on this planet, Steve? Oil?
That and coal.
Yeah, and
lots of coal.
And we found out that the process for coal, it wasn't Dino the dinosaur that dried. No. Or I'm sorry, died and didn't really dry up, just got compacted and made these convenient little pools of petroleum. Mm-hmm. Well, that doesn't seem to be exactly the case. So we've got more oil than not. But we're going to save the planet because you know it is global warming. I mean, it's 77 degrees down here in Texas. I mean, that's, about 12 degrees above normal. So it's got to be global warming. This whole damn thing, they're not going to stop with this global warming crap until they get everything in place, the carbon taxes, everything that they want. Right. This is the new taxing mechanism for the socialized societies, all under the guise of benefit to you and I. Well, my freedom and my ability to navigate for as long as I want to is being impinged. So I can't just fill up repeatedly a gas tank in a car. I got to pull into a charging station now. Now, something really irregular happened last week. Elon Musk, the big Tesla innovator thinker, he's putting rockets into space, and he loves digging holes in the earth, and he loves building electric cars. Well, he just got bounced out as the CEO. So there's this silent thing going on that nobody is willing to come forward and admit. But we got a problem here, folks, because we hate that dirty, nasty coal, and we certainly don't want to have that dirty petroleum. So we're going to have to go to clean energy. Steve, how do they make electricity now?
Usually coal.
Bingo. And do you think electricity in the future, when it's in so much demand, taxing a grid that's already falling apart? Just ask PG&E. With a grid that's already falling apart, and it's going to take trillions of dollars to do upgrades to modernize the electric system, because we're vulnerable to, you know, anything from a car hitting a pole, knocking down a power line, to storms, to age, deterioration, lightning storms, tornadoes, you know, whatever. We're still all vulnerable to that. But as of right now down here in Texas, a gallon of gas, regular gas, 87 octane, is $1.87 a gallon. Is that going to be price comparable to their electricity they're going to force me to use in the future?
Good question.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Let me ask you this. Correct me if I'm wrong, but what is the byproduct of coal combustion? What's the byproduct?
CO2.
No. Mercury.
Oh, sorry.
Mercury goes up and the atmosphere comes back down. I don't think the scrubbers are very good at removing the mercury. I think that goes up in the atmosphere. Of course, it comes down with rain and ends up in your lakes and your streams, but in your vegetation. So,
how about the Japanese that applied for patents on hydrogen? They discovered a way to put water in a tank, split the hydrogen off, because what is H2O? It's hydrogen and two atoms of what? Oxygen. And they had patent pending for these wonderful little, it's still an internal combustion engine, folks. It's still, that stuff's still sucked into a combustion chamber, and it's timed out, and it fires, and it expels its expended gas. But, Steve, driving your car around with water, you wouldn't have to be dependent on the electric companies. You wouldn't have to be dependent on the oil companies. Oh, well, we can't have that. We got to have the people out there dependent on something. We can't give these suckers an even break.
Exactly.
Man. Well, electric cars continue to cost lots of money, contrary to the now forgotten original point of the exercise, which was once upon a time to find a lower cost alternative to gas-powered cars. That's gone away because gas is so cheap that even with all the add-on taxes, and that's about one-fourth the cost of each gallon, if you're not paying attention out there, and the cost of regulatory mandates, such as ethanol mandates, and that's another one they cram down our throats, that is totally unnecessary and still damaging to engines, that have made fuel both expensive and less efficient than it would otherwise be. Finding a cheaper source of energy is going to take something spectacular, and battery power isn't it. Now, that inconvenient truth, plus government subsidization of high-performance luxury sports cars that happen to be battery-powered. Now, this has perverted the incentives for electric car development away from economy and efficiency, neither of which are even discussed anymore, as if it doesn't matter how much money is thrown on the EV bonfire, so as long as the flames burn brighter and higher. Which brings us to the $70 million investment Porsche is making the so-called fast chargers for the almost here Taycan, T-A-Y-C-A-N, is the car model, the company's first electric high-performance car. The fast, in quotes, to make snarky about the abusive language, these chargers are indeed faster than charging up an EV via household outlet, which takes half a day or overnight. There's the answer to your question, depending on how flat-lined the battery is when you first plug it in. But they are still paralytically slow versus the time it takes to refuel, say, a 911 Porsche with gas, less than 5 minutes. But hope there isn't any problems no one's talking about with regard to this electric cluster, they call it, is recharge stall or parking spot throughput. Unless Porsche and everyone else guzzling the EV Kool-Aid is picturing and paying for somehow a vast field of electric car recharging stalls, the waiting will be multiplied, because in addition to waiting for your electric turducken to recharge, you'll be waiting for the electric turducken ahead of you in line to recharge. It's one thing when EVs are a curiosity, and there are just a handful of them out there in circulation, as is the case now. Then it's enough to have, say, six spots for recharging in a dealership. You know, you can go on with this, But this is their idea. This is what they're moving toward. And they're not telling the public what the grand plan is. Now, some might call that a conspiracy of silence. Some might just say, well, this is technology and we're just approaching it a different way. It's we must have it because of global warming and we don't want the people resisting this and for other host of reasons. And the only thing I'm smelling here is controlling the markets, gouging the hell out of the consumer, and under the guise of, well, this is good for you.
You know, John, when they started pitching this whole electric car thing, if you did the math on this, this was funny because a lot of people didn't do the math. If you did the math, they'd say, well, the car costs more, but you're going to save, and it's going to be great for the planet, by the way. But if you see how much you actually pay over the price of a normal car, a gas combustion car, internal combustion car, you're not going to spend $20,000 in gas in 5 years for the life of that car before you finally sell it or trade it in. It doesn't sell. So then they came back and said, well, you're protecting the environment, but you've made some great observations here. You're going to be spending more, using more coal, more pollutants in the air to produce the electricity you need to do to charge these cars. So there's a lot of things they didn't take into consideration. And on top of, you didn't even mention, if you were to drive up to Vinny's, it would take you, let's say you had to charge every 200 miles. That's five charges for you. Then you're going to have to wait in line to make sure, first of all, you're going to get the plug in because there's not tons of these plug-in stations anyway, these charging stations. So you're going to be waiting in line for your turn to charge, and how long is that going to take? It's crazy. The whole system really was never really thought out very clearly about that we're going to be able to do this and this. They don't have enough charging stations flat out. They don't have enough of those. But I think people got smart and said, wait a minute, I'm never going to spend $20,000 in gasoline. So the extra success I pay over to buy this card, it doesn't make sense. It's not economic smart. You know what I'm saying?
Callers called in and says it was Audi. One third of all new Audi models will be electrified by 2025. And another listener called in and says it was Jaguar that will be all electric by 2025. So, folks, are you going to be happy with that?
Being
tied to the grid?
It won't float. I don't think it's going to sell. I don't think you can try to sell it, but I don't think it's going to sell.
Well, this isn't a matter. No.
You think they're just going to give me no options?
Yeah, you're exactly right, Steve. You're thinking as if this is going to be a consumer-driven market and not mandated by government. Excuse me, what planet did you land on down there in Florida? It's going to be mandated. Trust me on this one. And with the collusion between the corporations and government we have right now, you can bet your bottom dollar it's going to be mandated. Now, you remember what they did about the older vehicles? These were older cars that still had point systems. Mm-hmm. You know, that a backyard mechanic with rudimentary understanding of how to use, say, pliers could repair a car. Oh, well, those days are long gone. You have to have computer interfaces now and learn how to read trouble lights and how to clear them out of computers and all this other stuff. People that have tried to go get their cars inspected, if an inspector sees one of those lights, well, you got to get that fixed before you can have your car inspected. Whether it affects the passenger, the car itself, it doesn't matter. If the functioning of the car, if it's not rudimentary to the elemental safety of that car, new operating, starting, stopping, turning, whatever, doesn't matter. As long as you got a trouble light there, man, you got to go get that thing, and you got to go to the dealer that charges you $100+ an hour to get in there and clear that light out. It's about the money game, the same way it is, folks, about re-registering your vehicle every single month. Why is you should have to register a vehicle once. When you buy it, you're assigned a license plate. There it is. But every year, oh, you got to go get an inspected. You got to buy a new inspection sticker. You got to buy a new registration tag. It's money, folks. It's money. By the way, you sent me a cheat sheet on electric cars?
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Okay.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Some say life will beat you down and break your heart, steal your crown. So I've started out.
You know, I'm really surprised, Steve. You sent me over a cheat sheet that came directly from electriccarpledge.com.
I was just about ready to point that out. To sell you this, but... I just didn't understand the charging thing on it. So it's charging one, charging two level.
No, that's okay, because their first sentence here, opting for an electric car or EV over traditional fuel-driven car is a smart thing.
I know.
EVs are environmentally friendly. You'll save thousands in fuel and maintenance costs. That's because you won't be driving anywhere, folks. Plus, there's rebates up to $13,000 on cars that are overpriced any damn way.
Right.
Another advantage is that there's plenty of electric car charging stations all over the country, and more are being installed every day. So you can now charge faster at home. Charging an electric car is as simple as plugging into your nearest charging station or plug and waiting for the car to be charged. However, how long you wait depends on the type of charging, the station, or the plug that you're using. Level 1 charging. You ready for this one, folks? For a Nissan Leaf, which has a range of approximately 100 miles. This may mean over 22 hours of charging to reach full charge. but the fact of the matter is you will rarely need your car to be at full charge. For an average American who travels 40 miles per day, a 9-hour charging stretch is enough for a normal amount of commuting the next day, unless you want to get out of town. Level 2 charging. Most charging stations have 2 charging plugs. They use 220. Ooh, let's plug it into a 220 and see how fast that sucker blows. A typical sedan will take about 4 to 6 hours to charge 100% capacity using level 2 chargers. 220, folks, that's twice the amount of electricity as a 110. The DC quick charge, or level 3 charging. Now, this is not a charging plug that you can get installed in your house because they cost up to $100,000 and need more than power. Yeah, me too. Steve, let's run out. The hell with the show. Let's run out and buy one right now.
Let's do.
No. However, these charging stations offer about 40 miles of range in just 10 minutes of charging. Oh, boy. Mm-hmm. Factors such as electrical output capacity, battery capacity, and the external environment temperature may affect the time of the EVs to be charged. Such an informative website. This tells me all I need to know as to why I don't want to buy an electric car.
There you go.
Wow. And anybody want
I'd like to know what the charge cost is. Do you know what a charge cost is to plug in at at a public charge?
Well, okay. That's an interesting question because unless this is going to be subsidized by government, you're going to be paying for the facility itself as well.
Exactly.
I mean, you don't pull into a gas station, buy a gallon of gasoline without paying the overhead for that gas station. Trust me. Okay. And then you got the taxes, the federal taxes and all that other stuff that's there. But I'm looking forward to a real bright electric powered, clean energy future.
Well, how many miles can you get on your Mazda 3? How many miles on one tank?
One tank, about 365 miles.
That's what I put on mine, about 380, 370 to 380 on mine. We have the same car, basically. Mm. So
A bigger engine.
Do you?
Yeah. I got a 2.5. You got a 2.3.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But so you would be able to charge for 200 miles and then stop again and do another charge up again. So this is – it's – I still want to know what the cost is. I'm going to do some research on this to see what these little charging stations are charging. It's not economical. This is crazy.
Well, and especially because now you're talking about investment capitals to put more of these charging stations in. They're pretending like you just buy an electric car, all this stuff is going to magically appear and everybody's going to be smiling, skipping down the merry road of clean air and clean energy, and it's going to cost you next to nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking at $30 for a gas tank to fill my tank up, about the same as yours. So let's say they charge you $20 to charge and then the time to charge it up. But that's only for every 200 miles. And how much time you're going to lose getting to point B from point A.
Well, that doesn't figure in the equation. Your time to them is not any money. Okay. Nothing. None of this stuff coming from government is ever parsed out on how much time does this stuff really take, you know?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
How much of the individual's time and energy has to be put into this? Now, they don't ever consider that. They just mandate and regulate and, you know, stick guns to your head and tell you're going to do something. And if you don't, well, you might be a terrorist, so government might come and get you because you might be an eco-terrorist now.
You know, John, I'm starting to think those Amish people we saw are pretty good shape with their little buggies and horses.
Yeah, people up in Missouri, they still snicker at the Amish going down the roads in there. But you know what? Vinny pointed out, he said, take a look at their farms. He said, I know they're working farms, but they all look run down. And he was right, they did. Somebody offered this. Did you guys mention you have to pay or subscribe to use most e-charging stations?
Oh,
that I was not aware of. See, how would I know that? Because I'm one of these gasoline kind of guys.
Yeah.
You got me off of the V8s. Then you made me laugh when you introduced V6s. Mm-hmm. And then you did front wheel drive cars that you guys couldn't engineer worth the crap. And you made me laugh over that one. And just about the time where we entered into computers to get the maximum out of an internal combustion engine, now you want me to use something else that's probably going to cost me three times as much. They're from the government, Steve. When are you going to learn? They're from the government, and they're here to help you. Help themselves, that is. Ken, I'll take your call right after the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Ken in New York. Hello, Ken.
Hi, John. Hi, Steve.
Hi.
Hey.
I had an opportunity to investigate this when I worked. I worked at a previous job about 10 years ago. As far as the splitting of hydrogen, splitting of water, you know, to get oxygen and hydrogen.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole subculture out there. You might find somebody sometime that sells these kits, but they're not. They require a lot of maintenance because it takes a lot of energy to split water into hydrogen and oxygen in the quantity that you'd need to keep the car running.
That's with current technology out there in the marketplace today, kind of like off the shelf stuff that you have to put together yourself, right?
Right, and then there's another problem. There is you would have to disconnect the system. You can't really. You'd have to have a way of switching the system between gas and the hydrogen and oxygen, because when it came time to get your car inspected, you have a problem with the computer being in the feedback loop between the exhaust system and the what controls the amount of fuel of the injector system. I'm not a car expert.
Yeah, well, the problem.
Electronic repair.
Yeah, well, the problem, Ken, I see with using the standard pollution sensors is there's yeah, it'd send it into a probably a perpetual loop. It'd probably drive the computer nuts because there's not that much pollutants that come out of the tailpipe doing this.
Right, and in fact, if the I don't know how they measure pollutants coming out of a car, but I'm willing to bet that if you had zero pollutants, it would probably throw a red flag up. there were it's probably a narrow range that they pay attention to, but there was some of these companies, I had seen some kits where they had you had to put some kind of a resistor or something or some simple amount of circuitry in between that feedback loop system so it wouldn't, the computer wouldn't shut the car down.
Well, if there was...
You know, it's a lot of maintenance.
Well, yeah, but again, this is not commercially available stuff that's manufactured by the various car manufacturers. And if I was going to have a country that's going to pioneer this kind of stuff, it would be somebody like the Japanese. Pretty smart, innovative people. But point being, Ken, is if this was made available and commercially available, regular Joe Blow from Kokomo goes into his local dealership to buy a car, it's gonna be warrantied. It's gonna be, you know, they're not gonna invite problems for themselves putting a product out of the marketplace that the consumer themselves has to keep running back to the dealership over problems. They have been working on this for over a quarter of a century, to my knowledge, maybe even longer. And it is doable technology. They have proven that it works. Whether they can get the cost down on it through mass manufacturing of the product, that's yet to be seen. But we may never find out because we're going to jump right from the dirty old petro stuff right to clean energy, electricity.
You would need some engineering deep pockets to make something that would be practical and have enough meantime between failure to make it worthwhile. The other thing is about the charging time. I really, if I had an electric car, I think it would only be practical to use it around town.
Yeah.
Where you might be competing against stop-and-go driving, which burns more fuel up as opposed to trying to travel long distances.
Well,
and,
from
you
what
know,
I, yeah,
a
but
quick
from,
charge.
Yeah, but okay, on that issue, though, if you are stopped and an electric motor is not turning, you're not using energy. That was the idea behind these cars, the internal combustion engine cars that you can buy, that you pull up to a stop sign or a stoplight, which makes absolutely no sense whatsoever, and your engine shuts off. So when you release your foot from the brake pedal and hit the gas pedal, the engine starts back up again. When I heard that, I thought, how insane is that?
Well, I heard the Chevrolet was doing something different. It may be in current cars, but I read about 5 or 6 years ago that what their idea was that when you come to a stop sign, the engine goes into neutral.
I don't know about that.
I don't know if they actually do that or not, but there was talk about it, something about taking it out of, electronically switching it out of gear when you came to a stop.
You know,
somehow that was supposed to
say. You remember years ago when Cadillac still had their big cars and they were heavy and they still had the big V8s? They came out with the 864 engines?
Yeah.
That it would be,
I remember.
Yeah, it would be eight cylinders and until you got that mass moving at your desired speed, and then eventually it would cut down to six cylinders and then only run on four cylinders. The only problem
Did
is...
Did it work?
Not very well.
Okay. I don't know.
Yeah. It sounded great to the engineers. They said, hey, let's try this. So they tried it on the consumer market, and it fell flat on its face.
And there's one last comment about the charging of batteries. I also had some experience with, you know, working with battery chargers for small devices. And with current technology, now Mike Rivera had mentioned that a new kind of battery had been invented, a new lithium type of battery or a variation that can take a quick charge without killing it. When you shorten the charging time on the battery, you're usually shortening the life of the battery.
Right, right.
And I don't know, I have no idea what it costs to repair a pack of batteries. And
Ken, this is funny you mentioned this, because my friend Vince Finelli over Christmas time was showing me a battery unit that he buys from China. It's actually what it does is it pulses the charge in your battery and knocks all the stuff off of the plates in there. This is why you have battery failure. It's not that those lead plates in there and the lead acid combination in there or the ratio changes that drastically. But what happens in lead acid batteries is stuff builds up in these plates that makes the batteries less efficient. And I forget what he told me it was. It was $20 a unit that you can put right on your car battery.
Yeah, they've been around a long time.
Yeah. So you know what I'm talking about.
Yes. They pulse the current at a very high frequency. Sometimes it could be in the megahertz, and that tends to loosen up this crud that builds up so it doesn't short out individual cells.
Right.
Because you get one cell shorted out, and the battery's like, you know, your voltages, that's enough of a drop in current that won't be practical to use it anymore.
And it used to be, with rechargeable batteries, at least what I can remember when rechargeable batteries came out, you're exactly right. If you do not discharge them 100%, they get on something that's called battery memory. So that battery...
That was NiCads.
NiCads? Nickel cadmiums?
Yeah, not lead acid. Lead acid, you don't want to go below. If you go below, I think it's 11.8 volts, you're going to be shortening the life of the battery. It's got a very narrow range that you can use, a usable range. But, again... This business, wasn't Tesla having a problem with their battery? Lithium is very dangerous, at least the current technology. And if you don't charge it right, they have all kinds of crazy curves that are controlled by software in order to charge these things so they don't blow up on you.
Right. And, you know, I keep – these batteries are extremely heavy. And I'm wondering, how safe are these cars in accidents? You know, what happens when the batteries become compromised, or what happens in a really severe accident? You know, things that are in motion have a tendency to stay in motion. And from what I've seen, and I don't give a damn how well they're engineered, whatever cage you put these batteries in, it's not going to be the panacea of safety. I can guarantee you that.
Especially when a unibody construction.
Yeah.
It took me quite a while to notice that cars don't have bumpers on them anymore. When you get, I pass since I'm driving around during the day at my job. I see an accident, a simple accident, that will splatter a car all over. You know, a minor rear ending.
And if your front clip isn't completely gone, which contains your turn signals, your headlights, maybe part of the radiator assembly. I mean, that's completely gone. You know, Ken, you know what this reminds me of? I don't know if you remember when you were a kid. You used to be able to buy these little cars, and it reminded me when you said no bumpers. These little plastic cars that you could buy had little bumpers on them, and you'd run them into something and it'd all blow apart. And then you got to put them back
in. You mean like the Aurora? Or
Yes. And nobody noticed. Remember the bumpers that were mandated with these heavy shock absorber units, and they stuck out and they were heavy. And well, this was all mandated by safety by the federal government. Now what do we have? We have cars that, well, they crease at certain areas to take the impact and distribute the force. And yeah, you're right. You hit anything, there goes the front end of your car. It's gone.
You have a choice between either being severely injured or being severely financially injured to where you can't afford to go to work anymore. I mean, you know what I see in body shops when I travel around? And I'm seriously thinking of this. My next car, I have a 2003 Sedona I bought in 2008, and I've kept it ever since. My philosophy is I haven't had a car payment since 1989 when I paid off a small car that I had. And I'm seriously thinking about getting in my childhood, I had a 69 Chevelle Super Sport. Now, it doesn't have to be a Super Sport, but a Malibu or somewhere in that 69. That car had a chassis, and it had good weight distribution, and you could bump into somebody without damaging yourself.
Yeah, well.
And you don't have spyware, and you don't have all of the other stuff. And there's plenty of parts. There's another subculture.
We don't want you to have cars. You can go out there at your local junkyard and go strip it off yourself and reinstall it yourself. That's how I saved. What the hell year was it? It was a Impala. I think it was a 1995 Impala. And the computer one day decided it was going to go on to Fritz. That car would not start, wouldn't do anything. Finally found a computer unit. It was tucked under the carpeting in the trunk. Pulled it out, matched it up, went to a junkyard, found another car of similar year, pulled that out, plugged it in the my car, and it worked just fine. But problem is now that this is all engineered for the individual's safety. They have these cars, and I first became aware of this years ago when Oldsmobile was touting the fact that the glass in their cars gave structural support to the actual integrity of the car itself. And that's when I knew the gig was up.
Yeah, we have vans. We have two kinds of vans where I work. We have these StarCraft vans where they buy the front of a Ford truck and they put a body onto it. Those bodies are made out of solid steel, and they do not fold. We had a kid hit us in the back one time. We felt a little bump, got out, and walked around the back of the bus, and the kid's sitting there. He goes, "My mother's going to kill me." The car was splattered all over. He must have been on his phone or something, and he hit us about 5 miles. It was a little nudge, and the whole car fell apart. So I feel safe driving in those buses. They're meant to protect people. Well, but if somebody hits us, they're done.
Well, and I've likened this in the newer cars with so many airbags in them that when you hit something, what literally happens on the inside of that car, if you can imagine this, that you dive headfirst into a vat of warm marshmallows, and you're completely surrounded by this white thing from the front, from the side, from the top, from underneath, from whatever. You know, you're safe. But you look up only to discover that your car from the windshield forward is gone. That actually happened to me.
I was in a rear ending, and the last good car that I thought was nice looking was the 1990 Corsica, and I'd gotten rear ended. And the car folded up in the back, glass exploded all out, the pieces all over me. And they had to cut the door off to get me out, and it was all because of a cop giving a ticket at the entrance of a cloverleaf.
Well, you're old enough, Ken, to remember. Remember the 50s?
Yeah, I am old enough.
Remember the cars in the 50s and the 60s that they had bumpers that literally weighed hundreds of pounds?
Yeah.
Now, you mush two of those bumpers together, and it offered protection, and it protected the integrity of the car until at such point that you hit it hard enough, you started bending up frames and metal and stuff like that. I mean, every impact, it's got its point of no return. But these were the days that you could actually hit somebody. You'd get out and look at your car. You may not even see a scratch in your chrome, you know? So, yeah. Hey, Ken?
I'd be happy with plastic. Okay, all right.
Appreciate your call. Thank you.
Tonight.
Going down memory lane with Aurora cars that you could drive. I was only about 4 or 5 years old when I had one of those damn things, and it fascinated me that I could run this thing into something, the front bumper would hit, and the damn thing would just blow apart. You know, maybe that was some GM engineer that looked at that, grew up, became an engineer, and said, you know what? We need to do that to the cars. What a wonderful idea. Look how well it absorbs impacts. Don in Missouri. Hello, Don.
Hey. Yeah, about the electric car, nobody's brought out that because you're not burning gas, the states charge you a road tax. One state was over $2,000.
Okay, so the idea is because you're not burning fossil fuels and you're burning clean energy that they're penalizing you and charging you a fee?
No, they just want the coffers in their state full of money. They don't want them emptied out by you driving electric. That's what it's about. You're right, but the end of it is that. On hydrogen, though, this one guy just a while ago said, oh, it takes a big bunch of electric. Man, a friend of mine was running a little Ford Fiesta on hot pure hydrogen, pulling a little single-axle trailer, and he did it with flashlight batteries. But now he amplified from the batteries. He had some kind of amplification.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you talk about the hydrogen car. Do you know what pollutants come out of it? It's real easy. None. Water is what comes out.
Water.
Whatever the engine pulls in on the intake, the four-cycle engine only burns 29%. The diesel burns 38%. All that unburned is the pollutants that everybody's hollering about. And back in, 1920s, He was doing 200 miles per gallon. Yeah, here we are today saying, oh, my goodness, we might get 40. Yeah. Vapor carburetor is what you want to look up on the Internet, and you'll find Tom Ogle and Marvin Pease in Texas. They're both dead, by the way, because that's the way they do you. You get offered money, you don't take it, they kill you.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I've been there.
They make you an offer that you're not supposed to refuse, and
two
if you
buddies
do.
Of, yeah. Well, our lawyer took ours. They offered
well, John, I remember
the
Honda CRX got 67 miles a gallon back in the early 70s, and our gas mileage is getting worse and worse. Or it's pretty much stalled right around 24 for an SUV. 67 back in the 70s for the Honda CRX, and it disappeared. Gone.
Go figure.
Yeah.
Don, thanks for your call. I appreciate the appreciate the info. All right. Well, we just almost did an hour on electric cars here. Oh. You would think that that's all that's happening in the world.
I'm going back horse and buggy.
I'm going, what are those people up there in Missouri with the buggies?
Yeah, the Amish.
The Amish.
Yeah.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We are back. Update here on General Motors. And this also ties into AT&T. AT&T continues laying off Americans after profiting billions from tax cuts. And folks, we're talking billions of dollars. And what's AT&T doing? Laying people off. General Motors, we told you this is going to happen quite some time ago, and today's the day it starts. They began laying off 4,250 North American salaried workers Monday morning as part of a sweeping restructuring announced in November that includes the closure of 5 plants, the elimination of 15,000 jobs. The plan includes the destruction of 15% of the company's total 54,000 salaried jobs. According to one press report, the jobs massacre will take form of the rolling layoffs that will continue till the end of this month. 3 assembly plants, Lordstown, Ohio, Detroit, Hamtramck, and Owosso, Ontario, along with the Warren Transmission in Michigan and a propulsion plant in Maryland, are slated to close by the end of the year. Now, this in many of these areas, folks, this is the only thing they have going. So guess what happens? That's right, the towns dry up. Now, one report said that GM management was determined to begin the layoffs before the company's release of its fourth quarter 2018 profits. Then that's supposed to be this Wednesday, which are expected to show a drop in profits. Now, this underscores the fact that Wall Street is cracking the whip on GM and the rest of the auto giants to press ahead with cost-cutting and step up the attacks on workers in order to drive up stock prices and the speculative profits of the banks, the hedge funds, the big investors. That's anybody and everybody except you and me. Now, GM has said the job cuts and the plant closings will free up $6 billion in cash. But the automaker has spent $10.6 billion since 2015 buying back its own shares in order to fatten the portfolios of the financial oligarchs. Again, them, not you or I. The cuts have generated an enormous anger and opposition amongst auto workers in U.S. and Canada who have never recovered from the job cuts and concessions imposed with the collaboration of the auto unions as part of the Obama administration's 2009 forced bankruptcy and restructuring of GM. The cuts will further impoverish regions in both U.S. and Canada that have been ravaged by decades of deindustrialization. Last month, workers at Owosso Assembly Plant staged a 5-hour sit-down protest after GM CEO Mary Barra announced that she would not reconsider the decision to close the factory. Workers took the action independently of Unifor, terrifying the union officials and sending them scrambling to squash the rebellion. Now, I love this part of it. The World Socialist website, Auto Worker Newsletter, and steering committee of the Coalition of Rank and File Committees have called for a demonstration on February 9th outside of GM headquarters. Wow, we're going to have the socialists out there picketing General Motors. What's wrong with this picture? All right. Amazing. Amazing. We'll come back with the AT&T story. You're going to love this one, folks. While there were tax cuts given to these guys, you didn't see it on your end, did you? AT&T is in some serious trouble from what I'm hearing. They started their streaming stuff online. They signed up 250,000 people and promptly lost about 3/4 of the 250,000 people that they signed up. It's all in play, folks. It's all in flux. Want to know what tragedy and what dust is going to settle? Well, just check in at the end of the day to see what happens after one of these little chaotic episodes happens. Didn't see it coming, didn't know it was going to happen. Oh, isn't that a shame? Look at the mess now. Steve Elkins, John Stattmiller here, National Intel Report, second hour coming up. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a 4-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.